Very good, and welcome to the Fred Report Technical Market Call for May 15th, 2025. I almost said 2024. We'll get right into it. We'd like to stop as close to 11 to 11:15 as we can. We have a 12 o'clock lunch in town. So first of all, stocks, we were expecting them to be down Wednesday. It was a little bit worse than we thought. But we did end up buying some things this morning, and we're going to play for a move up into Memorial Day weekend, which is Friday. This trade normally works. For investors, we're still holding on. We're still positive. But I do want to spend a little bit more time here talking about the bond market rather than stocks, because I think there's a lot of questions there, and there were some interesting things. So first thing is, obviously, we've seen the 30-year and the 10-year go up a little bit more than people were expecting. This might vary with Monday's or yesterday's action might very well have been a taste of what we're going to see when rates on the 30-year go to 65 to 75, 80 on TYX, which is, of course, 6.5% to 8%. Something which we have been nervous about. It does not by any means have to happen. But if you look at that long-term quarterly bond chart, which we published, I believe, last week, we published the quarterly one, we published the monthly one, there is by no stretch of the imagination any way you can say that bonds are in a long-term downtrend and bull market. The real question is, are we wrong on rates going to 8% in October, or at least breaking out above this 5.5%, going to 6.5% to 8% in October? Is that going to happen sooner? There are some confusing things going on in the bond market for people that are not commodity people. The biggest is yesterday really showed some good panic in the 30-year bond. There was some real surprise. The reason we say that is the bond futures were almost down 2 full points at some points during the day. That's the limit. I've only seen bonds go down the limit twice in my entire career, from 1983 until now. This would be the third time. If they had gone down the limit, they didn't. But the real point is the bond market is very, very big and very, very deep. To get that market to limit, you really have to have an astonishing amount of selling. We did, and as I say, we came near the limit but did not. The second thing that's even more fun, though, is if you look at the open interest on the June versus September contracts and realize that bonds go to spot where you can be forced to make or take delivery of the contract on June 1st for you move to the September contract. Some of the selling may very well have been to do with rollovers. If you look at the open interest, September and June are very, very similar in open interest. The rolling process has already started, so that makes things a little bit more confusing as well. But the bottom line is we still expect a rally from here in May, maybe a little bit of choppiness in early June, but into July, August. And then we are concerned that we see the stock market rally into that time period, and then interest rates start to go up again and break through, the 5.2, 5.3 range on the 30-year, and we see some real problems in the third quarter in equities. We have to be prepared for that. We have to be watching the bond market for that. I'm sure there's going to be some questions on that. I won't go into it anymore. We've talked about it, it now looks like more and more people are concerned about that, and I believe rightly so. In the commodity markets, we're very frustrated. GLD is trading right around that 302 area we've talked about. We hit it again today, but we're staying above it, which means gold is still in an uptrend. We'll just have to see how that goes. I'm going to probably run my accumulation models on gold this week this weekend again to see if there's any more accumulation. But the real thing is, as long as gold can stay above 302, it's still in an uptrend, so trade accordingly. Oil is a base, and that is also getting ready to roll. Oil, you know, rolls every month, so we're probably going to see some falter all around that, but we are expecting higher oil prices this summer. It's actually trading very well. The other commodity area of interest to some, not many, but again, it's sort of an inflation indication in some respects. The agricultural stuff really looks like it's going to try to rally into July. We're looking at SOYB. That's one you can get on your machine. I don't think most of you people should be buying that or trading that. But the fact is, if you look at the agricultural commodities, we're probably seeing you know, a nascent rally here that should take us up into July. One of the interesting things that's going on here, really interesting things, is they backed off it a little bit yesterday and today, but XLI Industrials made a new closing high, all-time high, this week. And it's very, very difficult for me to see a recession around the corner with industrial stocks trading as well as they are. And what's also interesting about that is you're not seeing anyone really talking about industrial stocks, you know, in the news. It's mostly talking about, you know, tech and AI or this, that, and the other. We're going to look at industrials this weekend. There's several different ETFs and ways to play it. But one thing I would do, I didn't write down the names. Jack is probably mad at me because I didn't. But look through the chart book. You'll see a number of industrial stocks that are making new highs. And I would certainly take a look at those. I mean, one of the biggies here that's trading well is DE. It's not making all-time highs, I believe, but it's certainly trading extremely well. And again, you know, not only do people think that that's not, do we not see a recession when that's happening, nobody is talking about these. And the monthly chart on DE, which is a very simple, nice chart, is a nice breakout after a base that's really gone from 2021 to now. So, I mean, there's some names like this that could do very, very, very well that aren't in AI or some of these other areas that are being talked about in the press all the time. That's an area we will look at. With that, I guess those are my last prepared comments. Jeff, let's have some stuff from you. And let's talk about certainly anybody that has bond questions, we're prepared to answer them today. So, Jeff?
Yeah. So, Fred, what do you make of, do you think we're going to really break the 85 level on TLT, or do you think it's just another test of that?
We've broken TLT. It's 83.54.
Yep. I know.
The question is, can we get back above it? I think we should. Jeff, you know, the one thing I would mention here that is important on TLT from the standpoint of trading is, you know, we've been on a buy signal on that for a while, and it's basically done diddly to gone down on that buy signal. If we get into, and then if we're going to generate a corresponding sell signal, of course, when we get that, you may see complete and utter erosion in price in TLT. Right. When you have a buy signal of the kind that I had and it doesn't work, the corresponding sell signal can produce a move of magnitude. So I am at best not really optimistic about bonds here.
Okay. So does that make you less optimistic about the Russell IWM?
Yes and no. It makes me much less optimistic. What it's saying to me is we could have a bad third quarter in all stocks if rates really go haywire on the upside.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then
Jeff,
what about...
You know, yesterday, the idea that bonds were almost down the limit yesterday on the 30-year, the last time I saw this was when the CBOT flooded and they closed bonds and they went down the limit in Singapore. Right? And closing the exchange due to a flood is certainly, you know, a surprising event. Believe me, we were surprised as hell when that happened. That was back when I was at RH, right? To see similar action there, horrible. Now, the interesting thing, though, Jeff, is, and this is something that I think is worth mentioning, put call has been negative. Yesterday was a 123. That was a good number. Investors Intelligence percent bears and AAII are still quite negative. They are, you know, in positions that have caused big bull moves in stocks since really, you know, since the 80s, right? So my feeling is we could see equities shrug this off and rally into July, and then we really have to see. I can certainly come up with scenarios where interest rates go up and the stock market does just fine.
Okay.
Just have to see.
And then what about mid-cap? Are we kind of in between on mid-cap?
Yeah. When you look at MDY and IJR and all of these, what we've done this week is basically fill the gap from last week, which is not at all unexpected technical action, right? Mid-cap looks pretty decent, and of course, XMMO and XMHQ, which are two sort of slice and dice maneuvers that you can do on the mid-cap indexes. These are trading very well. I would buy these in here.
Okay. Well, that's all I have for right now.
Good. Let's see. Yeah, let's see if we've got some questions. I had a number of interesting emails on bonds yesterday. It's very possible people have more bond-oriented questions, so we want to take a little more time for questions today. Questions? Assuming people aren't away for Memorial Day. No questions. This is a very light call. Well, Jeff, do you have anything more? Otherwise, we can end this one a little bit early.
Hey, Fred.
Not this fast.
Let's grab you first, and then you'll get second. I heard you'll get in the background.
All right. So on Tesla here, you still thinking maybe we can get a pullback to the 310-ish area, or how's that looking now?
You know, this is a real B word, shall we say, I guess bitch, to say, in that my trading target for Tesla coming off the bottom was 340, and we are right at 340. Yeah, we could, but if you see Tesla above 352, it's probably going to hit 400 fairly quickly, and I'm afraid you're going to have to chase it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't mind buying higher than where I sold. I sold it at 340.
So, yeah, I did too. And I was very happy. We made a nice gain on that sucker.
Yeah. All right, how about Google? I mean, they hated Google now. It seems like the last few days they can't get enough of that. How's Google looking now?
You've got major resistance in the 178 to 180 area. But the stock is still trading pretty well and looking pretty decent. I would certainly stay with that one.
Okay. And then in general, on the SPY, what do you think? Just maybe more choppy action after Memorial Day? Just kind of reset some of the indicators on the daily, or how far down do you think?
That would make sense. I don't think we're going down much. In fact, the surprise may be that we simply start to rally here and head back up into July without giving people an opportunity to get in. The sentiment indicators would certainly suggest that that's what's going to happen.
Gotcha. All right, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, and again, let's be clear. I'm nervous about rates, but I'm not nervous about them now. And I'm not selling. I've got a list of stuff I want to sell in July, and I'm not selling any of it now. So let's see how we go. Let's see if there are more questions. Yogesh, you were on, it sounded like.
Yeah, so the TLT, should we consider buying here or the taking the...
You know, Yogesh, the short answer is yes, but we have to be careful. If it starts going much through 80, it could hit 60. I mean, it could have a real smack. If I'm wrong on the timing of these interest rates, that's going to be a problem. And, you know, using really long-term charts and at the beginning of the year saying that we were going to have interest rate trouble in the second half, well, based on my analysis, the second half starts a month from now, right? If I'm a month off, we could see horrible erosion in TLT.
I mean, if the TLT, you mentioned that TLT may not have too much impact on the stock.
Yeah.
But the long duration stock may have impact. They might, right?
Yeah, there might be some real problems there.
Okay. So the last one is the PEN, Peter Edward Nancy.
Sorry, Yogesh, I heard some scratching. What is that?
That's not me.
No.
E as in Peter, E as in Edward, N as in Nancy.
Oh, Penn, right. That was, I was about to make a bad joke, forget that. That's actually right down on support. Let me check one thing, Yogesh, because that's one that I'd actually been looking at. You've got a daily stochastic that's oversold and a weekly that is in sell mode, but this is one, if you want to try this, Yogesh, I would. And I'm interested in healthcare here. There's a couple of stocks in healthcare that that looked surprisingly good in the chart book. So,
I see.
Good. Any other questions?
Nope, for me. Thank you.
Got it, Yogesh. And we can talk after the weekend. Hopefully everything's
yep,
going well.
Well.
Other questions?
Fred. How much influence will the Fed have, the FOMC, with a possible rate reduction coming
on
up?
On the long end, none at all.
I know they only affect the short end, but certainly one side looks at the other.
Yeah, what may very well happen is short rates come down and long rates go up. Michael, if what's happening here, and you're seeing rumblings of it, is a loss of confidence in our ability to pay these bonds off without printing money, there's not going to be anything anyone can do about rates going up. Not a thing. And again, Michael, I asked that question. I asked people on the call a couple of weeks ago, is there anyone on the call that would buy a 30-year bond from the U.S. Treasury with the idea of holding it for 30 years right now, considering rates are at 5%? And lots of people a couple of years ago were saying, my God, if I could get 5% on my retirement accounts, I would do that and sit with that very happily. Is there anyone that would do that right now? Right? And remember the Chinese and all these nice portfolio managers in other countries? Well, they went to our schools, right? They know what we know. That's the concern. Now, they have to buy bonds simply because they have dollars and there's nowhere else to put them really where they can get any kind of return at all. So they've got an issue, but they're probably not really wild and happy about it. And it's, you know, there are rumors that people are looking all over the place for other places to put that money.
So is Warren Buffett looking really smart right now?
You know, Yes and no. I certainly will be raising some more cash in July. Michael, it's really, really interesting. Sentiment is such that the market should have a very strong up move into the summer. Right? Now, Warren Buffett, and again, the other thing I think that was happening, and I'll tell everybody a quick story here. When I was at RH in 1989, one of my traders and good friends, who's still a dear friend to this day, who I knew in California that was working at RH, Nels Gehry, who Jeff knows, was doing a lot of work with the Fidelity account. And he noticed that Peter Lynch was raising way more cash than he'd ever raised before. Right, this is in 89-90, okay? And, of course, everyone that Nels told that to was sitting around thinking, oh, my God, Peter Lynch is bearish. What does he see that we don't? And the answer is he saw his own retirement, and he was afraid that when he retired from Magellan, there would be a lot of redemptions, right? And he wanted to have cash on hand to meet those. Right. Well, one of the things I thought when I saw the big cash position in Berkshire was that Buffett was going to retire. I wish there'd been a way to bet on that. And he wanted to have a strong cash position, not only because he was a little nervous about the markets, but because he was afraid people were going to say, well, Berkshire's fully invested. He's retiring. He's not going to watch this. The stock's going to go down. And Berkshire's done pretty well, given his retirement. So I think that was part of it too, Michael. You know, it's a really good signal for somebody, some big PMs are going to retire is when they start raising cash.
Well, there's no way of knowing what he has plans with that cash. I mean, he's going to be charitable for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, again, the thing that's so weird about, you know, he's definitely saying that valuations are too high. And we certainly, if you look at valuation metrics, they are too high. Now, high valuation has been present at the end of major bull markets, but it never has been a cause. And by that, what I mean, Michael, is I've never seen in my entire career someone come out and say, my God, valuations are high, and we start a bear market the next day. Right? It's never a catalyst signal, but it's always present. So the question really is going to be, do we have a catalyst for a real bear market coming? And that we have to look at potential catalysts. But, Michael, I'm inclined to think it's not a real bear market, at least for a good while, simply because the other catalyst you have or the other condition indicator that's almost always present is too many bulls on the intermediate sentiment indicators. And we are at levels on AAII, which Walter Murphy follows, and I talked to Walter, and Investors Intelligence, which I follow and have followed since for my whole career and have the numbers going back to the 60s, where you start big up moves, not big down moves. So it's a real mixture. The only thing that, again, might be the spanner in the works, as they say in England, is a spanner is a wrench, by the way, for those who don't know that, is ultra high interest rates. And I know that doesn't seem possible that we get the 30 year to 8%, but golly, just look at those long term charts. This is not a downtrend. The downtrend from the 90s is over.
Thanks, Fred.
You're welcome.
Fred. Hey,
yes,
it's
sir.
Bill. How are you?
Hey, Bill.
Looking forward to hopefully seeing you in August. With both of us being students of history, if you will, and I've listened to you talk about the fixed income. Do you think that we could be maybe in the second wave, you know, going back to the 60s, 64, 65 through 82, we had three separate waves of inflation and higher interest rates. Do you think we could be somewhere approaching that second wave from a historical standpoint?
You know, it's certainly possible, but the thing that's so interesting about this is, you know, what really caused inflation in the 60s was oil prices going from a very low price that was actually under the market value to what was overvalued in the 80s, as we started the 80s, right? And I don't think we have that now. So the question is, if we're going to have inflation, really bad inflation, where is it going to come from? And I can't come up with a good answer. There's no one catalyst for me.
Okay.
But what we could be starting, and again, and this doesn't mean we're bearish here, but, you know, when you look at periods like the 70s, there were lots of ways to make money as mm-hmm. rates went up. But they were different than what we're accustomed to doing now, right? I was talking to somebody the other day. If you want to benefit from higher interest rates and own bonds, there's so many ways to do it. Bond ladders is the best way, where you're reinvesting at higher rates. If you've got clients that are really worried about higher rates that want to buy bullet shares, those will protect you completely from higher rates, and you'll be able to reinvest those at higher rates if we get them. There are all sorts of things we can do. The question really is, do we want to own bond mutual funds and things like TLT if they start to go down, or do we want to try to do some other things with our bond allocations? And remember, in the 70s, Bill, we had huge swings. We didn't have an uptrend that lasted for a long time. But we had, if buying at the right time, you were making 40-50% on your money selling and then doing it again 8 months later.
I remember you mentioned a gentleman that you knew back then, or maybe it was a book that he had written about convertible bonds.
Yeah. That was the first big book on the stock market I ever read, Morton Shulman, How I Made $1 Million, back when $1 Million was a really large amount of money, when the average salary was $6,000 a year, How I Made $1 Million Trading Convertible Bonds. Right? Fixed income product, not stocks. Not I bought,
right,
you know, Microsoft and it went up 250% the next day, but, you know, something different. And, you know, as financial advisors, we're going to have to adapt if conditions like that change, and they always do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's just a question of how to do it. But again, I think we're going to have to look at this thing. If we're getting big buy signals on bonds, on rates rather, not on bonds, in July, August, and we have a market that's up and sentiment that's fallen off, we have to be very nervous about the third quarter. Bonds make a cycle low in October many, many, many years. It's one reason why the market comes down in October. And so this might be one of those years where we have a very difficult October and then a year-end rally.
Thank you, Fred.
Sure. Too early to say, but that could happen. Other questions? Sorry, I interrupted somebody.
Hey, Fred. Steve Smith.
Steve, I thank you for that thing you sent yesterday. That was very interesting to read.
Yeah, well, coming from a different angle, but
yeah,
food for thought and in line with what you've already been talking about. Three quick ones for you. We have GE. We have some of that lying around. Didn't know if you feel like that is a bit stretched or has...
It's stretched, but it still looks decent. Let me have a look. And again, Steve, I'm looking any industrial that's breaking out on the weekly and monthly chart, and GE is, I'm inclined to, and that's the symbol GE, GE Aerospace.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to stick with that like glue.
What about United Rentals, URI?
You know, much below 5.10 would make me nervous, but right now it's okay, and you're very close to a monthly recycle on that, and it's a nice uptrend.
Last one, different sector is Novo Nordisk, NVO. Novo Nordisk, NVO.
Oh, okay, here it is. Let me have a look.
3-leg
you know,
exhaustion, or is that? Is that
yeah, one? And you know, a lot of these healthcares, you've got a weekly recycle on this. It looks like it's trying to hold up. Let me look at something else here. It's got a nice little pattern on the daily. If this can get above 70, and I would give it a chance to, you could get a run into the 80 area fairly easily. What is the yield on this?
1.7%.
1.7, so it's a little low. But you're seeing a number of charts like this in healthcare, which is why it may be that this sector may be more interesting than I've been thinking.
Fred.
Yes, thanks, sir. Ray.
Fred, your thoughts on QBTS, Queen, Bravo, Tango, Sierra.
Bravo, Tango, Sierra. D-Wave, Quantum. You know, this looks like it. I'm looking at the short-term chart. It definitely looks higher. The monthly chart, this is one of the strangest charts, but I'd have to say this could literally explode to the upside.
One more, CoreWeave, CRWV.
Can't analyze it, really. But let me see. There's not enough data to get a long-term chart on this. On this, look for 200 immediately in the next by July. And if this starts going below, say, 85, you could see a move to 50. So basically, you buy this and your stop is 85, which is pretty heavy. And if it gets there, you must sell it because you'll get this to 50 pretty easily.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, this is the this is not quite the classic third angle of ascent on a new issue, but it's close.
Hey, Fred?
Yes, sir.
A speculative BBAI?
It's certain. This looks really pretty decent. You could get this to 4.5.
Okay. All right. And let's see here. Sorry. Coinbase, C-O-I-N.
Nothing wrong with it except that it's at resistance, but this could be in the 300 area by July. All these things could go into July.
Right. And let's see here. RGTI, Rigetti Computing.
This is in the chart book. It's got to get above 13.25 or it's going to die.
Ooh.
But it looks, I mean, it's not a lot of risk. I wouldn't worry about this unless it goes below 10.50. And that's not too much risk for this.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. And let's see what the other one was. That's it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And Scott, question. You were playing with SOUN.
Yes.
Oddly enough, one of the smartest investors I know, private guy, thinks this is a really strong stock in 20 years.
You could see that.
I've
traded it a few times, honestly.
Yeah, but this, you know, it's just interesting that all of a sudden my friend Ron would come up with this. This is not the sort of thing he normally plays.
So how does the chart look currently?
You know, it looks like you could get a move. This is going to sound terrible to 10:30, and this is right around where you would want to try to buy it if you were going to try to buy it, but it doesn't look like it's going to do much.
Okay. I appreciate that. Very cool. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, good.
Oh, and by the way, well, you know what? I'll just listen to the recording. I came in late, so
okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, and we can talk later on if you need to, Scott. Mostly about bonds is what we talked about.
Sure.
Other
questions?
Question.
Hey,
other
Fred, how does Exxon look to you?
Exxon?
Yeah.
You know, it looks just fine. Exxon and Shell are my two favorites in the bigs, and we're exiting unfavorable oil seasonality at the end of the month, and you're seeing oil prices, I think, screw around because of the role in the future. So I would try Exxon. The one that is making me nervous there, for some reason, it's not trading well at all, is Chevron.
Okay, awesome. Thanks. I'm taking Steve's question for him today, so appreciate it.
Got it. Okay, sure. Yeah. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, question. Fred, question on LLY.
You know, I've been looking at this, right or wrong, as a seven. Of course, everything I say is right or wrong, as a 700 to 900 range. So,
okay.
You're close to a good daily recycle. We had a little daily recycle. It's failing. The next one is a buy, and I think you'll get 900 on it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, the real question is, and again, Jeff may have fundamental insight on this, are they going to be anything to do, able to do some of the things they're talking about with drug prices? Right? I don't know.
Right.
Other questions?
Fred, just on a long-term chart, looking at, you know, SPY versus, you know, any European basket, VGK, for example. What do you think? How does that look?
You've got a lot more relative strength in SPY. VGK could certainly do reasonably well. It looks fine.
Yeah, kind of a longer-term view on it, you know, 5 years from now, what this could look like between the two. It just seems like the gap between Europe's finally started to catch up. Now it's happening.
Yeah, it's finally starting to catch up. I think you've still got more potential in Japan and more potential in India. But, yeah, Europe, you can have a European allocation now and be reasonable, I think.
Thank you.
Where I've been, of course, what we've been recommending for Europe has been EWL, and that still looks better than all of them. And, you know, again, that's shown very high performance.
That advice 7 years ago, still holding on.
You know, I got to tell you something, Colin. Every frigging year, I look at that and say, should I change my opinion on this? Because I feel very much like a broken record, right? I mean, my God, I've been recommending this since 2010, which is 15 years. But it's still working, right? I don't feel like I can not recommend it. But I feel silly doing it. you know, it would be natural for somebody to say, well, he just didn't look at anything and is going to keep recommending that, right?
It's not broke, though.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Good enough. Other questions?
Hey, Fred. I just kind of hanging back here. What would be the reason that the Fed could not come in and do something like it did in 1945, like yield curve control? Certainly could come in and do a form of QE where it's very, very targeted toward the long end. And then, I mean, basically what I'm doing is trying to look for the wild cards here that could come to play, because I, like you, am very concerned about where this where long durations go. And I'm most concerned about what these Merrill guys taught me way back, that crowding out, because there's so dadgum much debt that's going to be rolled, not just Treasury.
Yeah, it's a real problem. Some of the more interesting long-term forecasters that I read basically say that you're going to see a movement from public debt into private corporate debt. That's certainly what one of the areas where I would be looking if I were adding bonds is very high-grade corporates. But the answer is, I don't know. It's possible the Fed could do that. The question is, if the entire world says thank you very much and sells to the Fed on that, say we can finally get out from under this BS, if the Fed has enough money to do it, and what do they do after they own it?
Do what they always do, just print.
Yeah.
Which would be part of the reason why Bitcoin looks stag-gum strong right now.
Yeah. Yeah, go back, Alan, and look at what happened to England in the 50s when they started losing currency dominance. It's not particularly pretty.
Right. I can see that coming as well.
But again, Alan, I have felt, and we'll have to see, but one of the things that President Trump has said is he's going to use the tariff revenues to start paying down the debt. Okay? I do think a very good possibility is, as far as the debt is concerned, that if other countries see that we're making a real effort to do something about it, something which has not really happened in the last 20 years, 30 years, really since Reagan, that that will buy plenty of time and put a cap on any interest rate rises. That's obviously the big hope, right, for me on that. And that would essentially make the idea of, you know, interest rates, you know, doing what they did, you know, from the Depression to the 80s and going from, you know, 0.05 on the long bond to 15 to 20 on short-term rates, right? That would be something that would forestall that.
Right. I love right. The thought. I just hope ain't a good strategy.
Yeah, but we could. We'll just have to see how some of these things play out. But the technicals on bonds say we're going to have a run. But again, we have a run. We get rid of that. You know, we build basically a good solid left shoulder here, mm-hmm. The right shoulder. You know, the peak of that right shoulder is around 8% on the 30-year, 8.5. After we hit that, you know, what the hell, right? then the question becomes, does it get worse or not?
Well, thanks for your thoughts.
Yeah, interesting. But I'll tell you this, Alan, and everybody on the call, I would have TYX on your screen in a place where you can watch it every day. And if it starts going above 53, I'm off on my bond timing, and you're going to see higher rates sooner rather than later.
Copy one.
Good. Other questions?
Fred, I got another one. I don't know the answer to this, but they had Elon Musk on yesterday. They were talking about, you know, all this AI and everything. He was saying one of the biggest constraints is going to be like the power generation. So any stocks or anything that you've looked at that may be able to take advantage of that outside of, I guess, the traditional utilities or whatever?
Not really, but, you know, one of the things that has, and actually this is really interesting, I'm glad you mentioned that. One of the things that isn't happening this time around in if you look at uranium and uranium stocks, they are trading much better than they traded in the first Trump administration, right? Uranium is probably going to be one of the big, you know, beneficiaries of AI. We need the power. Uranium is an easy way to generate it. The Southern Company has been one of my favorite utilities, SO and the big standard utility, simply because they brought nuclear plants online. They brought one on, another one's coming on in the next year or two. And, you know, in other words, they see what I think is going to be a major part of the future, right? It's not going to be wind farms off in New York, right? So uranium is probably going to be a good way to play that. We've been recommending, you know, I think the ETF we've been recommending, I can't remember the symbol. I believe it starts with an N, but that's been a much better chart than UR.
I think there's URA is one of the
ETFs. URA, but there's one that looks better. And I keep typing in
it's NLR.
NLR, yeah, that would be a good symbol, yeah. You know, things like this are trading very, very well, especially when you compare them to the first Trump administration. I think that they see that.
GE Vernova.
How about like a
GEV?
That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah.
How about the
things
small
like that
one?
Are probably going to be very good.
How about this, the Uranium Trust, UROY, U-R-O-Y? I know it's a small one. They're a little harder to...
Yeah, that looks interesting. You know, all of these are probably interesting. NLR is a good one for the bigger ones. That one has a better chart than URA and URNM. I got in real trouble, by the way, at a meeting with the Sprott Uranium Mining ETF URNM. In a meeting, I asked if I was going to be able to take physical delivery of the uranium just like you could with the gold, right? That seems, Sprott funds seem to be big on physical delivery. I said, well, that'd be great. Can I do physical delivery of the uranium? And the short answer was no. The longer answer, I'm sure, that was running people's minds is, who is that idiot? But I was quite pleased.
I'll mention one thing on the healthcare because you were talking about them. So we are seeing a lot of bullish option flow for later in the year. So maybe it'll be a second half play there on the healthcare stocks.
Yeah. You know, stocks that should be, you know, worse. Yeah, I think Lilly's going to be a big one. If that can really bottom in here and start up, that's going to help a lot.
Yeah. Well, we took a flyer on that UNH last week in that 270 range, so it's kind of been trying to build a base here between 250 and 300, you think, on UNH?
I hope so, yeah. This one, again, I will tell you, guys, if we're in tax selling season, October, November, UNH may be a really good play if it's down around 250, 260. Let's see if there are other questions.
Hey, Fred, it's Jack.
Yes, Jack.
Hey, Seagate, STX. I know it was in the chart book. You were saying 108 was the target. I see today it's now it hit 110. Is there, you know, any point where maybe this thing breaks out higher? I know
I would give this a chance to break out, Jack. I think everything that looks like it's trying to break out has the potential to run really decently into July.
Okay. All right. That's what I thought. Okay, cool. Thanks.
Yeah. By the way, I just got an interesting text on UNH from a guy that follows insider buying. Apparently, there's been some big insider buying on this. I guess what I would say is yes, if you really want to take a flyer on UNH, start to do it. But just bear in mind that if it doesn't hold up in here, we're going to be wanting to buy this again in October. And this should take some time. You should see some basing action here. You know, one other stock that we should be just sort of watching here, and Disclosure, I own this around $5. Please, full disclosure, does everyone not hear that I own this around $5 and I'm not trying to pump it up? But Federal National Mortgage, FNMA, they may actually take this private this year. It was a big Bill Ackman bet that made sense to me. And it's a breakout as well. Right. Again, a lot of these financials are saying we're not going to have big financial problems, right? And the sentiment is positive. This is one of the more difficult ones. I think what this is saying, though, is rates are going to fall off at first, and then we have to have then we might have some risk, and that's my base case here. And if you see TNX back below 50, that could head back into the 46 area very easily from here. That's TYX. So let's see, other questions? Very well, we'll say going once, going twice. Very well, this should end, or will end, in fact, the Fed Report technical market call for May 22nd, 2025. You hate to say have a happy Memorial Day because of what Memorial Day stands for, but at least, you know, enjoy your weekend. This is one of those weekends where I always eat hot dogs and hamburgers and try to be as American as possible, even when I'm overseas, although you can't get good hot dogs overseas to save your life. So everybody have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week.